Welcome to In Depth with Academia. I'm Richard Price, CEO of Academia.edu, and today I'm excited to be your guide through another fascinating piece of research. As always, I'll be presenting this paper neutrally, not endorsing, just opening the conversation so you can make up your own mind. So what's on the table today? We're diving into a really thought-provoking paper called Tipotama Aura Framework, Tuakiri Autophagy, Metabolizing and Reclaiming the Self by Ruku Iansen. Now, you might be wondering, what even is Tuakiri Autophagy and why does it matter? Well, let's dig in. The central question this paper asks is honestly huge. It's about what happens when personal and cultural identity is wounded by colonial mechanisms and what it might look like to reclaim that identity. More specifically, it's about Maori experience in post-colonial Aotearoa New Zealand, how identity has been fractured by colonization, urbanization, and systemic pressure to assimilate, and how healing can be structured. This matters not just for Murray, but for anyone reflecting on identity in a world shaped by historical trauma, cultural displacement, or the need to code switch. All those ways we hide parts of ourselves in certain contexts. Let's talk about the core idea here. Te Putama Aura is a five-dimensional framework, and Tuakiri, identity, is the dimension at its center. The paper says, when I am Tau, Te Aumarama is Tau. That's when I am settled, the world is settled. If identity, Tuakiri, is stable and authentic, then, well, everything else in your life can start to stabilize. And when identity is wounded or performed instead of inhabited, everything kind of wobbles. Relationships, spirituality, mental wellness, they all get pulled off center. The paper gets really specific about the harms faced by Maori through what it calls the three exiles of colonial identity assault. Okay, first, there's the original exile, land, language, and spiritual practices severed by colonization. Second, there's what Ruku Iansen calls the double exile, where Maori professionals, after years of working in Pakeha or white institutional worlds, end up kind of distant from both Maori and Pakeha communities. And finally, the third exile. Sometimes when someone tries to return to their Maori community after all that, the homecoming doesn't bring healing, but actually compounds the hurt. That's rough, right? And then there's something called pepper potting, where Maori families are dispersed into majority Pakeha neighborhoods instead of forming strong communities together. The effect? Children might not even know what's missing until they hit adulthood and start asking where they fit. That's pretty wild. Oh, something can be lost before it even has a chance to be consciously valued. One thing that hit me, again, I'm just explaining the paper here, was about internalized oppression and self-policing. Basically, when someone spends so much time adjusting their identity to fit in, they might not know what is authentic anymore. Wow, just think about how exhausting that must be. The paper says code switching, performance identity, and self-monitoring get so baked in that when it's time to reclaim identity, you have to first dig through all those layers of survival strategies. Oh, side note, this idea made me remember a story I once heard about someone accidentally answering their home phone with their work voice and not even realizing it for years. Just a little moment that, I don't know, speaks to all these identities we're juggling and sometimes losing track of. Anyway, back to the paper. Here's another thing. Rage is given a central role. The author argues that anger about identity assault isn't something to be managed away. It's actually important material for healing. It's not about venting endlessly, but metabolizing rage, naming what it's about, extracting clarity from it, and transforming that energy into reclamation rather than collapse. It's kind of a big paradigm shift, right? Often, anger is talked about as bad or something to get rid of. Here, it's fuel for healing. The framework lays out a four-phase healing model for reclaiming Tuakiri. It starts with recognition, naming what was done and glimpsing what's underneath the performance self. Then there's breakdown. Yes, that awkward, disorienting phase when the old version of your identity is dissolving. Third, metabolizing, processing rage and composting the performance self. And finally, release and integration, standing in cultural inheritance as belonging, not as a performance to prove one's worth. And Ruku Iansen emphasizes there's a huge difference between cultural performance and genuine belonging. The goal is for Maori to know that Wakapapa, their genealogy, gives them the right to be, without having to pass some test or earn their way back. That could be a really powerful message for anyone doubting whether they truly belong anywhere. Now, what does all this mean for you? Well, maybe you're not Maori, or maybe your own experience with identity is different. But these questions, where and how is my identity shaped by social pressures? By survival strategies? When do I feel like I'm performing rather than inhabiting who I am? These questions, I think they're for all of us to reflect on. Just to wrap up, again, I'm presenting the findings, not endorsing, just opening things up. The big takeaway from this paper seems to be that grounding yourself in authentic identity stabilizes everything else. The work is far from easy. It's deeply political, often painful, and maybe unending, but it's also the ground for genuine well-being. Thanks for joining me on In Depth with Academia. If you're curious about your own identity journey or working with communities facing similar challenges, maybe there's something here that sparks a question or even some clarity. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and remember, academic research is never the final word. It's just another way to see, to think, and to deepen your own understanding.